Women have outvoted men in every U.S. presidential election since 1980, and white women are a key voting demographic this year. For more, we're joined on the KCBS RingCentral Newsline by Jenna Arnold, one of the organizers of the National Women's March on Washington and the author of Raising Our Hands, How White Women Can Stop Avoiding Hard Conversations, Start Accepting Responsibility, and Find Our Place on the New Front Lines. Jenna, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What are we seeing this year as compared to the 2016 election? White women voting differently this year?
My hypothesis is that they'll vote very, very differently. In 2016, there was a level of apathy because polls told this extraordinarily important demographic, the largest voting bloc in the country, and it's expected that white women will still control the electorate in 2060 with 56 Senate seats. But in 2016, there was a lot of this election is buttoned up. And so there was a lot of women who were probably pulling the lever in an inherited way, either the way that they had traditionally or the way their husbands and their fathers had. And then immediately after the results, come November 9th, 2016, I think everybody was very surprised by the outcome. And then you had a sequence of events from the Women's March to the Muslim ban to the Me Too movement, to, you know, looking at all of the fault lines that have been presented in what has traditionally been this narrative of, like, fail-safes from our systems and things like that. And then ultimately, the magnifying glass that's hovered over the country's longest rerun, the abuse of marginalized communities and this demographic who has been asked to do and behave and see things differently for generations is now finally doing that. So, yes, what's going to happen on November 3rd and what's already obviously happening, as we know, is going to be a substantial pendulum swing for this demographic.
When you talk about white women, I'm sure there are subgroups under that, wealthy versus low income, highly educated versus those with less formal education, or do you see them as a voting monolith?
No, no one's homogenous. I mean, the way that who I am as a mother in the morning is not who I am after I have to ask my kid to brush their teeth for the fourth time in the evening. So there's no way to make sort of sweeping statements that cover this racial demographic. But I have found that there is a universal confusion happening amongst a race in general, white folks who are asking questions around and using language like privilege, white supremacy, patriarchy in ways that they might not have used pre-pandemic, surely not like 5, 10, 25 years ago. And obviously, these are sweeping statements, so there's plenty of pockets of people who have. But I would say that there is a overarching curiosity about individuals' roles in systems, and everyone's desperate to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And you see that across the political spectrum right now, right? I keep saying to folks, whether you're left or whether you're right, and there's so much visceral passion and confusion and anger toward either side, but I keep reminding folks, like, both sides feel like they're fighting for their freedom. And so there's this undercurrent of wanting to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And I think there's an opportunity turning on November 4th for us to even double down, you know, as an encore to the lever pull on the 3rd.
Jenna Arnold, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
That is Jenna Arnold, one of the organizers of the National Women's March on Washington.